to upper-middle-class white women. My indifference to other people's anxieties was not apparently unique. The general lack of knowledge the table betrayed about lesbian literature and film confirmed my suspicion that Americans often don't care much about the things that concern people who aren't like them. The difference, as Seattle's situation made clear, is that whereas the conscientious outsider will likely expend some thought and care justifying her reasons for not seeing a film that mainstream critics and audiences agree is the film of the season, the mainstream masses don't bother with realities that don't concern them. Even that word, mainstream, troubles me. Who decides which stream should be the central stream, the authoritative path, for depictions of our diverse worlds? Consider a friend of mine who, 3 weeks into the fall semester of his second year as a student in the prestigious creative writing graduate program, found himself so dejected he felt compelled to call me at the artist's retreat. "Half my poetry craft class has dropped. Half. Today I overheard one guy repeat 3 times that he would have dropped, except the class was stupid and easy, and so he was going to stick around." The course was being taught by a young-appearing African-American woman who boasted, among her many qualifications, several books, a Guggenheim, a faculty post at an Ivy League institution, numerous teaching awards, and a position on the Board of Governors of the Poetry Society of America. Her syllabus consisted primarily of books by black women writers. My friend was relatively certain that the people who had dropped the class, all white and predominantly male, had done so because they just couldn't stand to be, as he termed it, decentered. A sister was teaching a class about writing by black women. Clearly, the content would be stupid and easy, if not downright unworthy of the time. What could black women possibly teach about the craft of poetry? Back in the colony's dining room, our friend from Long Island added perspective. "Maybe no one's talking about these writers because they're not any good." She was certain this explained her, give it a name, ignorance. If a thing hadn't crossed her threshold of experience, it must not be worth noticing. She took a large bite of pie and smiled through pink lipstick. I uttered my first words of the evening, which were something like, "Christ almighty," and left the table under the guise of returning my plates to the kitchen. When I came back, the 7th member of our company, a composer from Williamsburg, was beginning to understand Seattle's point. "This is sort of like blacks in Hollywood. For so long there were so few, and the only roles they could play were maids. No black woman has played a maid in a movie for like 20 years, said Mrs. Long Island. "In my normal life as a professor, I give lectures on the representation of black women in American film. I had numbers and films to dispute her claim, but I was at an artist's retreat, not in the classroom. I was supposed to be able to get away from my normal life. Why should I have to be the expert tonight?" "Maybe not maids exactly," said Williamsburg, "but the point is that there was a limited opportunity for many years, and that limited opportunity meant that there was a limited scope of representation for blacks. Isn't that right?" He turned to me. Williamsburg was on the path Seattle had tried to pave, but things could turn against her again at any moment. "Help me out here," Seattle pleaded. "There's no way around it. When you are the only one at the table, eventually they will always turn to you." "Right," I said. It had been barely 5 days since I'd completed the 28 hours of travel that returned me from my first extended trip to Ghana. I was still jet-lagged. I was feeling a little queasy even before the conversation began. I wanted to make as short work of my involvement as possible. "Sure," I continued.
"What are you talking about?"
Long Island was incredulous. "There is a load of opportunity available to black people in Hollywood today. Didn't Halle Berry just win an Oscar?" In the history of the prize, only Halle Berry, as a highly sexualized conduit for the redemption of a white man, has won an Oscar for Best Leading Actress. At the time of our conversation at the Artists' Colony, the other 2 Oscars, for Best Actress in a Supporting Role, had been awarded to black women for roles in which they were conduits for the redemption of white people. Hattie McDaniel, as a maid, and Whoopi Goldberg, as a medium. This was before Jennifer Hudson, who had the opportunity to serve as a conduit for the love life and redemption of Light and Lovely Beyoncé Knowles.